Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Firm Foundation Christian Church. Before I begin, I just want to ask that you bear with me. I've been getting through a cold the past couple of weeks, and my voice is not 100%, so please bear with me. This morning's sermon text is taken from the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, verse 10. And it reads, "Called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek." And by way of introduction, the Old Testament, under the Old Covenant, the Mosaic Covenant, God established it with the Israelites to set them apart from other people of the world, make them a great nation, and he would turn, bless them if they remained faithful. Well, the Israelites were far from faithful. They failed numerous times to honor God, just as we often do today. But praise God, for we have a merciful God, a God of many chances, and is long-suffering towards each of us. Well, back in the Old Testament, God established three offices to help people meet their need for a temporary restoration. These offices were anointed by God, meaning that through God's divine election, he would allow certain people of his choice to fulfill the role of a prophet, the role of a priest, and the role of a king. These offices involve special tasks with special functions that would work in conjunction with the will of God for his people, the Israelites. The priest would intercede with God on behalf of the Israelites and offer sacrifices for sins. The prophets were chosen by God to deliver the word of God to the people. And the king would lead God's people into battle against their enemies. Again, we'll praise God for Jesus because he is the ultimate fulfillment of all these offices. For Jesus is the anointed one, and only he can combine all three roles into his threefold redemptive work. Now, sticking with the theme of Hebrews, that Jesus is better and far superior than any and all things in the Old Testament, including these offices. For one, Jesus is better than any prophet because he is the fullest revelation of God, because he is the Word of God. And second, the priesthood of Jesus is greater than any earthly priestly work because his perfect sacrifice, the offering of himself. Through his offering, our sins are paid in full, completely and permanently covered. And lastly, Jesus is the greatest King of kings and Lord of lords because his kingdom will be everlasting. And there's a messianic psalm that points to this. When Jesus returns for the second time, Psalm 45, verses 6 and 7 read, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever, a scepter of righteousness. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions." So today, we're going to focus on the priesthood of Christ, which is the main focus of the middle section in the Epistle to the Hebrews. And I want to start my reading in chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. It reads, "For every high priest taken up from among men is appointed for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is also subject to weakness. Because of this, he is required, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer sacrifices for sins. And no man takes this honor to himself, but he who is called by God, just as Aaron was. So also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest. But it was he who said to him, 'You are my son. Today I have begotten you.' As he also says in another place, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him, called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Two applications we're going to go through today. First, the calling of God. And second, you are invited to come boldly to our great high priest. The calling of God. So the author begins stating the qualifications and the duties of the high priest. And first of all, the high priest in Old Testament times was a person called by God, as stated in the introduction. The function of a high priest is to represent God, represent man to God, and also represent God to man. And the author mentions that Aaron was called by God to this honor. Aaron was the brother of Moses, and he became Israel's first high priest. And this role would continue on through Aaron's descendants. And furthermore, these descendants would be of a certain tribe. God selected the tribe of Levi to be a special tribe out of the 12 tribes, specifically for the ministry of his presence. Case in point, when the Israelites were in the wilderness, God's manifestation would be in the form of a pillar of a cloud by day or a pillar of fire by night. And this manifestation would be used, would be a way to guide the Israelites as far as where they go next in the wilderness. Well, the Levite tribe was set apart to keep charge of the tabernacle, basically attend to it, maintain it, set it up, take it down when the Israelites followed God's leading. And the Levites would also assist in ministering to the people things pertaining to God. Again, so one had to be called by God and also had to be from the tribe of Levite to be a high priest in those times. And even though this tribe was involved in the ministry, only a certain few from this tribe were actually elected to the role of high priest. The point is that God does the calling, and not any person can appoint themselves to that office. Case in point, in today's world, many women may be more than qualified to be in a position of a pastor, and they may have a great understanding about the Bible, and they may be able to present the Bible better than most men. However, it still goes against God's infallible word not to have woman pastors. So if one feels called to do so, even though it's not in the perimeters of God's word, then it's not God's calling for you. You see, God's word doesn't contradict itself. And another example of this is in the book of Numbers. It speaks about a man named Korah, and he was a Levite who assisted in maintaining the tabernacle. And he wanted this position of the high priest. So Korah, along with two other men from the tribe of Reuben, rebelled against Moses and Aaron. They envied the position or status that Moses and Aaron had. And they basically started accusing them of exalting themselves above the assembly of the Lord. They're better than everybody else. When in reality, this guy, Korah, he actually wanted that position for himself. Usually when someone wants a position like this for themselves, they want that, it's that power that they're looking out, they're looking for. And obviously he didn't have the right heart motive to serve God. And in Numbers 16 records that God judged them and the earth swallowed up, opened up and swallowed them. Again, because they were not called by God for this position. Now, after mentioning Aaron, the author of Hebrews starts progressing towards Jesus. Okay, Hebrews 5, verses 4 through 6. And no man takes this honor to himself, but he who is called by God, just as Aaron was. So also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest. But it was he who said to him, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." As he says in another place, "You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek." In these verses, we see that Jesus is ordained by God the Father to a priestly office. And the first debate that some Jews most likely would present to counter the argument was that Jesus wasn't a Levite. He was a Jew. And he was from the tribe of Judah. Again, only a high priest were from the tribe of the Levitical tribe. However, Jesus was called to be a high priest, not according to the Levitical tribe of Aaron, because this priesthood was limited, not of a human descent priesthood. King David wrote in Psalm 110 a prophecy that the Messiah would be a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. And by brief introduction, Melchizedek was a mysterious figure in the Bible that is only mentioned a few times. The first time beginning in the book of Genesis, once in the book of Psalms, and then mainly in Hebrews chapter 7, besides a little bit in 5 and 6. Melchizedek, he was around before the law or the Aaronic priesthood was even established. And the author digs in a little deeper on Melchizedek in chapter 7, as he said. And I would say that most commentators are split on who this person is. Some state that he was, a man that just lived around the time of Abraham. And others, such as myself, believe that Melchizedek was a theophany of Jesus. A theophany is a visible manifestation of God. In this case, a pre-incarnate and a visible manifestation of Jesus. And I believe in Hebrews chapter 7, again, because he digs deeper into who Melchizedek is. 7 verse 3 proves that Melchizedek is a theophany of Christ because it reads in its description about Melchizedek, without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, remains a priest continually. So any important person in the Bible, their genealogy is basically established. And who does this remind you of, neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, Jesus. So like God, Melchizedek, his priesthood is eternal, unlike the priesthood of man, which continually needs to be replaced because of death. And furthermore, when speaking with Pastor James about this like 2 months ago, he pointed out, he gave me a good point that I kind of stuck in my memory banks. And just going by the theme of Hebrews alone, okay? How Jesus is greater than this or greater than that in the Old Testament. You don't see the author make this point concerning Melchizedek. You don't see the point that Jesus is greater than Melchizedek. Every other name mentioned, Jesus is greater than. Now, going back to the point that Jesus didn't glorify himself to be high priest, but God the Father ordained it. And I'm borrowing from a question right here in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 11. It reads, therefore, if perfection were through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should arise according to the order of Melchizedek and not according to the order of Aaron? Now, the author does touch on different aspects throughout this epistle as to why the priesthood of Jesus is better. For instance, it is perfected forever. Hebrews 5:8, though he was a son, he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. You see, unlike the Levitical priesthood of Aaron, Jesus never had to make sacrifices on behalf of himself. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Through the Levitical priesthood, people received the law. Well, the law cannot save. The law cannot perfect anyone because, unlike Jesus, we are all born in sin. We all fall short at one point, or like me, many points, of keeping God's holy law. So no one is justified. Romans 3:20 reads, therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh shall be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. And because of that knowledge of sin and knowing our depravity before God, what does it do? It points us to Jesus. It points us to a Savior, a divine intercessor whose priesthood stands forever according to the order of Melchizedek. A priesthood that will justify you in God's sight by grace. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Hebrews 5:9 reads, and having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Having been perfected means to carry out God's plan of redemption to completion. Okay, living a sinless life, paid our debt in full with his perfect death on the cross, then being raised on the third day. Jesus is not only our greatest high priest through his perfect sacrifice, but he is the author and finisher of our faith. And again, as we continue working through the book of Hebrews, the author demonstrates different aspects as to why the priesthood, his priesthood, is so much better. But I hope this first point settles it. You know, the Levitical priesthood represents the law. You cannot be saved by the law. But the law points to Jesus. And the priesthood of Jesus represents grace. And by way of application, the calling of God, sometimes as believers, we fail to recognize the role that God puts us in by simply failing to do nothing at all. Nothing at all for the cause of Christ. When God called believers to be a part of his will, a part of his plan, and bring glory to his name. And like the high priest, we ought to be set apart from this world to minister to the lost and to point people to Jesus. As I said, the Levitical priesthood of man was imperfect compared to the divine priesthood of Christ. Because we all fall short of God's holy standard. But that's not a reason to ignore God's calling for us, friends. And Aaron was a perfect example of this, yet God still used him. He said, you shall have no other gods before me. And what did Aaron do? Aaron created a golden calf to worship in order to appease the Israelites who grew weary and impatient, waiting on Moses to come down from the mountain as he was speaking with God. Friends, there is no flaws with Jesus. No flaws with his priesthood. I need you to understand that God isn't looking for our perfection. It's impossible. But he is looking for our submission to his will. Like Aaron, we fail. But continue, my friends, to press on. Believe you are called to represent Jesus in this lost and dying world. Called to be ambassadors on behalf of Jesus to seek and save the lost. So the challenge is for all believers, examine ourselves, ask ourselves, pray about it, on how to be better role models for the cause of Christ and grab hold of that calling that he has for your life. The second point of application is you are invited to come boldly to our great high priest. This is more geared towards people that may be sitting on the fence, unbelievers. You know, so many people of all facets in the world think they need to offer some kind of work, some kind of sacrifice to get to God, either through themselves or through an earthly priest. And friend, if you are not saved or stuck in a works-based mentality or religion, maybe you're like some of these Jewish Hebrew believers that the author is writing to. You know, maybe wanting to, for some reason out of another, out of insecurity, wanting to go back to following a certain tradition. Depending on an earthly priest to intercede for you on your behalf. Now is the time to come boldly to our great high priest, Jesus. Hebrews 10, 11 through 14, it reads, "And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. For by one offering he had perfected those who are being sanctified," believers. 1 Peter 3:18. "For Christ also suffered once for sins, not once a day, not once a week in a church service, but one time over 2,000 years ago on the cross, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but being made alive by the Spirit." Jesus makes intercession for us because he is sitting at the right hand of the Father. Our high priest is in heaven. "For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. No greater love has anyone ever displayed for our benefit than God, having his Son take our punishment that we deserve." We deserve to go to hell for our sins. Friends that are stuck on a fence, unbelievers, the only way to the Father is through God the Son. Jesus said, and he cannot lie because he is God, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus is our great high priest. He is our Lord, our God, our Savior. I ask you to place your faith in his finished work on your behalf. For his priestly work stands forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Let's pray. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father. Father, we thank you for the first priesthood, a Levitical priesthood, because what it does is it points us to your Son. It shows us that we cannot, any way of ourselves, keep the law. We fail. It demonstrates our depravity. And again, it points to a divine, better priesthood that you established and you ordained your Son to be a priest forever, a divine intercessor on our part, to stand in the gap. We thank you, Father, for sending your Son on our behalf. to be that blood-bought sacrifice, to pay our sin debt in full. We thank you, Father, for the assurance of our faith through the resurrection of your Son, through the promises of your word. And we thank you most of all for the grace that you give us, that you bestow upon us, the gift of grace. For without that gift, we'd be lost. And we thank you, Father, for what you have done, your redemptive work, the threefold redemptive work of your Son on behalf of each of us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.